Florida Joe took off in my Ford from San Pedro. We hadn't much gas and the tires were low, but the doggone Ford could really go. Now along about the middle of the night, we were ripping along like plain folks might, when a Mercury behind, he blinked his lights and he honked his horn and he flew outside.
Oh, yeah, they're flying outside. There's Mercury drivers everywhere. We have one in the studio on Long Island's only automotive radio talk show, Motormouth Radio, with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host Wingman, and Matt
DeCon, that other guy,
Joe D. And with us, the Mercury owner, Mr. Steve Linden. Steve,
yes.
Pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you very much.
It's always great. It's been quite a while since we've had you in, so we're long overdue for this soiree.
Well, thank
Absolutely.
You for having me.
You're more than welcome, and thank you for coming in. You want to get into the fun and talk to Steve, who's, of course, an award-winning author, appraiser, collector. What else do you do? Automologist. You're a lover of all things mechanical and automotive.
Just general upper-level car guy.
Yeah.
What happened to extraordinaire?
Extraordinaire. Well, I was trying to find the last one. That goes after the last one. You can call us at 516-572-7440. Check us out on the web, motormouthradio.com, where you can find links to our social media, which is Twitter, is Motormouth Radio, and Joe's favorite, Instagram.
Real_Motormouth Radio.
Right. And Joe actually did get to make a post to Instagram this week, which was a milestone, I thought.
I'm still in therapy.
Yeah. So you can get us on that.
Stupid
like us.
Phone.
Follow us, like us. Hey, Joe, Motor Magazine is now following us. So
really?
I don't know if we did something right or the check you sent cleared, but whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's about time. I mean, that and the case of cannolis there.
Yeah, that usually
Let's not forget the cannolis.
That usually gets all of them. So, Steve, you fall right into our latest paradigm here on the show, because we started, of course, with the seasons changing. We're talking about winterizing your classic vehicle. And you had written a nice little piece about that. So I have notes on it, of course, as I always do, which I probably won't look at any of them. But if you can maybe hit some of the highlights of that, and then we'll, of course, we'll weave in and out of all sorts of crazy topics. So
sure, it's when I write it in my column, I always call it my purely unscientific method.
Right,
and it's interesting because a couple of weeks ago I was up at a conference at Dartmouth University, Ooh. And they had the head chemist from Shell who addressed that issue, and he completely contradicted what I said.
Really?
So who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to me or the head chemist from Shell?
How many cars does he have?
You know, that's a good question. Probably none.
Yeah, there you go. You see?
But he was saying, put absolutely nothing in it, no additives, no nothing, drain the fuel tank and put nothing in it.
Oh.
And mine, as I say, which is purely unscientific, I've been doing it for decades and decades, is fill the fuel tank, because I've always felt if there's no air, the less air, the less moisture can get into your fuel, and I'm a big believer in fuel stabilizer.
Yep.
And, basically put some fuel stabilizer in it, top it off with fuel so it mixes it in, drive the car for a few miles till it gets hot, and then shut it off and park it. And
right.
He said no, but it's worked for me all these years. So that's my method, and I always start with fresh fluids. I put fresh oil in over the winter so that the lower end of the engine isn't sitting in all this byproducts of combustion.
Yeah, that is something you've mentioned. I know you went back and forth with that. And of course, you do a weekly column in Newsday, which we all read.
Yeah.
And there was the controversy. I mean, guys are on both sides. Do you change the oil and then store the car, or do you store the car and then change the oil first thing? And, of course, like with everything else, there's always more than one side to the story.
Yeah.
And, let me preface this all by saying I have my own little thought on winter storage. I try not to do it. and the reason is this. For small equipment, lawn equipment, the lawnmower I do, and I've discussed that in the past. In fact,
right.
We have a little video that we're working on that kind of corresponds, Joe, with Bronx's phone call a couple weeks ago about winter storage. Our social media and web guy is working on that now. We're trying to get some pictures in line. So that'll kind of encapsulate the high points of it. It's not done yet. But on my car, like the Pontiac I'm driving today, that's my winter storage. My thought is, drive it. Of course, when we're in the dead of winter and there's snow and slush, don't take your classic car out. It's not worth, you know, any damage that might happen.
Some moron sliding into you or whatever.
Yeah. Right. And the salt. But, you know, when it's a, after the snow is gone.
Salt is for pretzels.
Well, yeah, after the snow is gone and it's a dry road surface, right. Yeah, I'll take the car out. I think it's the best thing to do, really, is to keep it, you know, limber that way.
You know, I think there's no question at all that is the best solution. If you're of the mind that you want to drive your car during the winter, and if you do, and I think that's absolutely fantastic. If you do, then you're absolutely right. There's no need to store it. There's just no issue. It is the best solution is to just use the car.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, as I get older and older, and I'm starting to feel like that's the way to go.
A wise friend said, you know, I'm going to do this summer. Well, because how many more good summers am I going to have left?
Yeah.
And that rings true. I'll tell you what else rings true. This light. So we're going to push the button, go to the phones, and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths and Steve Linden.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, it's the Bronx. Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's happening, man? How's things out there?
Getting everything in order. Listening to your conversation that Steve mentioned about the fuel tank.
Right.
And the two schools of thought.
Mm-hmm.
He's 100% right. I agree with him. You fill the tank up to the top, and you use a stabilizer. Now, what they used to do on motorcycles, I don't know if you remember this, they used to drain the tank. But unfortunately, condensation still got into the tank, and then you find, especially in the 70s and 80s tanks, because of the condensation, the bottom of the tanks would rust right out.
That's right. Yes.
Right? So whoever this engineer or chemist was, I think he's totally wrong. He should go back to school and reevaluate what the hell is going on in reality.
Yeah. You know, I also knew guys had said they would drain the gas tank of the motorcycle then coat it with, like, a misting oil. Yeah, that's okay. That's going to run down, too. It may help, but it may not. It's not going to fully prevent it.
You know, which mentioned coated with oil, like anything else, gravity has a pull. And whatever that coating is, now, what are you going to take the bike, turn it upside down, slosh it around every month?
Right.
So it'll just be a layer at the very bottom, but right where the oil meets the metal, that's where you're going to get a heavy ridgeline of rust, and that's where you're going to get deterioration.
You're right. That's why I don't do that. Yeah, I've never. And of course, now on modern motorcycles, my BMW, in fact, has an aluminum gas tank.
Yeah. No, okay.
You know, and most cars have plastic gas tanks, the newer ones at least. So,
but we're talking about the vintage stuff.
Yeah,
you know, new technology, right? So that's just an interesting point you brought up. You know, and you get these new high techies that come out. They always have a better solution to an old mousetrap. Now, the old mousetrap has been working 100 years. Now they have a new innovative idea, and they find over time it doesn't work. Stick with works. Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm a firm believer in that.
That's certainly true. Yeah, right? Unless something
experience
like...
Experience is a great teacher.
Mm-hmm. It is, right?
Yes.
And time. You're saying it withstands the test of time.
Right, right.
Right? And it proves it. Right? Now, we all have vintage cars, you know, especially the car heads, and going back, like, I go back to the 50s and 60s, you guys, to the 60s and 70s, and you've been driving these things. Have you ever had a gas tank rot out? No.
Nah.
Right?
No, I haven't either.
Yep.
There was this one Ford that I had, though.
You know, one thing about winterizing is that people forget, and I think it's a big problem, is that they don't bleed the brake system at the end of the season, especially the master cylinder.
Mm.
Right? And brake fluid's extremely hygroscopic, and it does absorb moisture, even the slightest amount, and that's what causes deterioration of your calipers, especially when you have cast iron calipers or wheel cylinders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
flushing your brake fluid is a good idea.
Watch out, I'm sorry.
Yeah, flushing your brake fluid is a good idea on any car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every couple of years, get it out of there and, you know.
Right. I do it every 2 years. Do a flush.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. A lot of manufacturers recommend that as well, something similar.
Yeah,
it's called preventive maintenance. Fix it before it's a problem as opposed to corrective maintenance. Fix it after it's a problem.
Sure.
Yeah, and a perfect example, I have my 1998 Pontiac. I bought brand new. It's got 170,000 miles on it. It's still got the original calipers on it and the original seals.
Wow,
yeah,
that is good.
What does that tell you?
Mm-hmm. That you don't stop, you use a tailhook.
Right, right. Yeah.
Right. And it's going to last, right?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
A lot of truth to that.
No, very true.
All right, I'm going to give you one fast trivia Tibbet, all right, talking about old technology versus new technology. Mm-hmm. I was watching a show today, which brought me back to working in a museum. The starter button, which came out in 1910 on the first Cadillac, where they had a push-button start.
Right.
Now, the new cars is a push-button start. So they say, oh, look at this innovative, revolutionary idea. Yeah, it's 100-and-something years old.
Right.
They took an old mousetrap, and they put a new twist to it and call it new innovative technology. So you find a lot of that. So I thought it was pretty funny, you know, with the way these manufacturers market this stuff.
Except if you try to start a newer car with your foot, your dashboard's going to look pretty ugly in short order.
Yeah,
this is true.
Exactly.
Just a fingertip away, you know.
Right.
I'll let you guys go. I'm going to go have my coffee.
Okay, Brock.
We have that. Have a great time. I will talk to you guys soon, and be cool.
All right. Thanks,
you
Brock.
Too, man.
Hey, guys.
So
bye.
Take care.
All right. That was Brock from Nevada. You know, along that line, I was watching the show Trans Am that's on now, and they were changing the roof because there were two different T-tops made in the Trans Ams, Fisher, and there was another company.
Hearst.
Nope.
American Hatch.
ASC.
ASC, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They kept saying another name. I can't remember. Whatever it was. There were two versions. The OEM ones were smaller. The other ones were larger. And this guy wanted the larger ones, so they found a roof off a donor car and swapped it. And they now did a retro thing on the history of the T-top. And they went back to, like, the 40s. I forget who it was. Steve, you would probably know who it was because it was a historic car builder who put them in a car back in, like, the 90s. It was like a custom car. Back in the early 40s.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah,
I'd love to know.
You know, I should have taken notes, but I didn't. But again, just like Bronx said with the starter button, it is something that was part...
What's old is new again.
Right, and now... Yep. It was this new innovation from...
That the foot starter back in the day was just like two wires, one going from the battery, one going
through
the starter.
It was a big
now
switch.
That button is connected to 15 networks,
right.
Plus it reads the chip in your key fob and takes your blood pressure and all that other stuff. So basically, it's kind of like it went to college.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, when they talk about what's old is new, one of the favorite things that I think of is how about electric cars?
Oh, yeah. Not new at all.
Not new at all. They were the most popular cars around the turn of the century. And
that's right.
You know why they were, which I always find fascinating?
Why was that?
Why were they so popular? They were so popular. Now, this, I don't want this to come off wrong, and I don't want it to sound not PC, not politically correct.
That's okay. You're with us.
But because they were dependable, you didn't have to start them. Women could drive them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Doctors could get into them anytime, any
jump
season
in
the winter, when they had to get somewhere, and they went.
Right. See, I would have guessed, if I had to guess, I would have guessed the availability of gas stations and refined fuel was fewer and far between, especially when you got out in some of the farms or whatever. You didn't have that ability.
But actually, that's a very good point, because cranking a car, like, you know, that used to be, I mean, I've read about it, like, I've never actually seen anybody do it, but, you know, if that thing kicked back at you, you could break an arm. Yeah.
Can you see Johnny
like
back in the, like, in the teens having to crank his car? Can you imagine one of the guys from the UD? What kind of expletives would have come out of that guy's mouth? Oh, boy, they would have had a...
But the electric, that's a very good point, though, because crank starting a car... When you were a motorist back in the day, I mean, we were talking about, like, the Model A before, driving that.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like getting in the car and the car pretty much does what it wants, you know, what you want it to do. You're just kind of thinking and it goes.
Right.
I mean, I was in a 28 Bentley one time that a friend of mine was thinking of buying, and... The steering wheel had, like, you had to adjust the timing advance. It was like you
Model
had
a,
you had a whole bunch of stuff you had to do.
Right.
It wasn't like getting the car, assume the Cugine lean, and, like, cruise down to the pizzeria.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to do a Cugine lean right now. We're going to take our first break here on Motor Mouth Radio.
You mean there's pizza coming?
Maybe, but I want to tell you about another show you want to listen to.
Oh, come on. How about cannoli?
Steve, here's one for you. It's called Full Irish. It's on Saturdays at 11 a.m. I caught some of this show yesterday on the station because I do listen, and it was kind of cool. It's one of the younger guys doing it. Gary Power is the host. The program provides Irish music and news of interest to the Irish-American community. And although I'm not Irish, I kind of found it interesting because he does, like we spoke before the show, if a host makes a show... If they're into it and absorbed in it, they'll make you want to listen because you'll buy into their fervor. And I did. So, Saturdays at 11, check out Full Irish. And, we're going to take a quick break here on Motor Mouth Radio. We'll be back in about a minute. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
Well,
me tell you some news. I sing a song called the Crude Oil Blues. We're low on heat and all, we're low on gas. And I'm so cold, I'm about to freeze by myself.
This show is brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs, with two locations in Uniondale and Carl Place, both within a 5-minute drive of Nassau Community College, and also available with Uber Eats. Jersey Mike's is a sub shop where every slice, every sandwich, and every store provides sustenance and substance. Produce is sliced daily in-house. Bread is baked daily in-house. And the 100% Angus beef roast beef is cooked in-store. Experience the sub difference at Jersey Mike's in Uniondale and Carl Place.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
All right, we're back on Motor Mouth Radio with the sweet pick and sounds of our favorite Jerry Reed. Do a little bit of Olio in our music today. We usually maybe feature one guest and one group and kind of follow through. But I thought of Steve. I said, let's get some eclectic car songs today. So speaking of gas, we go with Crude Oil Blues. Why not? Yeah, we've all had that.
Well, it starts off that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, okay,
yeah,
we'll take it.
So give us a buzz, 516-572-7440. We're going to hear from Mr. Lewis Lee in a short amount from Playing in Traffic in Orleans Magazine. He's going to give us a SEMA update. We'll hear all about that. We were talking about winterizing. So, Steve, what I had done is I gave you my highlighted list, the stuff that I thought was interesting to talk about that you wrote, which was pretty cool. I don't know if there's anything on there that you want to touch on. Or that tickles your fancy. I like the stuff about... Obviously, it was written by somebody who's had rodent infestation issues because there's a lot of put the visors down and open the compartments and, you know. I know you had some very pointed problems with that.
You know, they seem to come and go. I can go for 5 years with no problems whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden they come back. And I went online a couple of years ago to look for tips on keeping these critters out of your car.
Right.
And some of the stuff I found was bizarre, but I tried it and it actually worked.
Really?
Such as?
Well, now I take, in the trunk of my cars, I take a cup, a plastic cup, and I put a cotton swab at the bottom, and I fill it with peppermint extract that I buy in bulk on eBay.
Wow.
Because it evaporates.
Right.
And then you take Irish Spring soap, not Dove, not Dial. It's got to be Irish Spring.
Okay.
And shave it down and put it in another
Manly,
cup.
Yes.
Yes. Right, exactly. But I like it too.
Right.
And I got to tell you, it seems to work.
Yeah. A lot of them critters don't like mint.
They don't like mint. And then another suggestion was take black pepper, and again, I order this in bulk, and assuming you're not using your car like you do during the winter, take black pepper and sprinkle it, make a trail of it around all four tires, because when you think about it, these critters, they can't jump into the car, so they
Point
start
of
on
entry.
The wheel. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And they hate pepper, black pepper. And it seems to work.
I guess the next year, if you come back and you see little rope ladders hanging off your hubcaps, you know, okay, we got to do something. We need the moat. The pepper
yes.
moat.
Well, some of them critters could be quite smart.
Yeah. If I see little rope ladders, then we have a bigger problem than that.
I never thought, you know, the one you mentioned was leave the sun visors down because they use that as a platform to get into the headliner. And I found that in my car when I took it apart. The headliner was totally sagged with stuff. And I never thought that, they were standing up there. That was their diving board pretty
much. It's a favorite place. You see that on a lot of cars. Yep.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I guess it also depends on where the car is parked. I mean, as far as is it in an outside garage, like you know, next to the house, let's say, or out in the lot,
right.
Or it's part or attached. You know what I mean, right?
Well, let me ask you, Joe. Has there ever been any winter issues at the UD?
Not, I mean, as far as critters?
Yeah.
No.
Well, there's always plenty of problems. I don't know if they're
well,
just thinking.
We did find a couple of rats with beer cans, but.
Yeah, they were drunk.
Yeah.
I know that place is often, it's very dry in the
yes,
winter.
Yes, it is.
I mean, in 10 minutes, I'm like, it's very dry. So what about seals and weather stripping? Does that, a protracted amount of time, is that a problem?
You know, at my own vehicles, at least, it hasn't really been, because I think because the car's out of the UV light, you know what I mean, and the temperature is relatively stable. I mean, the landlords are very nice, and they keep it at a very comfortable temperature all year round. I mean, you know, in the summertime, of course, it gets hot, but
right.
Yeah, you're out of the sun. Moisture, I mean, as far as like condensation and stuff forming, not really. Wow. And that is like one of the reasons why I kind of scraped together, fought tooth and nail to get back in there. There was that exodus a couple of years back when they got rid of a lot of us. And then what happened was I just noticed that keeping my car in a nice under a cover in the garage next to my house, concrete floor, you know, the whole nine yards, I was finding surface rust,
yeah,
which I never saw. You know what I mean? And I attributed that to the heat and the moisture.
Sure.
That Chevelle I had was in this like rickety garage that was next to the house. And boy, the stuff that happened in that car. I mean, actually, I think some of the seals shrank, you know, from sitting outside that, because that car had, you know, I had kept it in the UD for about 2 years and never leaked a drop. No, you know, nothing like that. No smells. That's another thing. There's no smells
right.
at the UD. You know what I mean? Outside of the ones that, of course, we create.
You know, different emanations. Our good friend Cliff just told us that he has to roll up his trunk mat to stop condensation under there, which will, of course, promote rust.
Right.
So I guess that's a good case for poor 15, the trunk floor.
Right.
Poor 15-ing. I don't know if that's a...
Peel off.
Is that a verb?
Yeah. It may be. We'll make it one, yeah.
You know, I've found, and again, purely unscientific, people tend to think they're doing a favor by heating the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And again, purely anecdotal and unscientific, but up here in the Northeast in the winter when it's cold, it's also really, really, really dry.
Yes.
So if you're going to heat the garage, you know, friends of mine who have done that have also run dehumidifiers.
Okay.
And you can see gallons of water come out of these dehumidifiers on a daily basis.
Okay.
So I think if you're going to heat it, you probably want to run a dehumidifier also.
Hmm. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. Sure, consider, you know, it all depends on the particular environment.
Yeah,
that garage there.
Because cold is dry. I mean, it's like a desert here.
Yeah.
In the winter.
No, that's very true.
Very true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all sorts of thoughts on what to do with winter storage. We talked about, of course, raising the car, leaving the car on the ground, and we last week we spoke about that. Again, you can catch that show on motormouthradio.com. You can go to past shows and hear what we talked about. I don't want to beat it to death. But in a nutshell, what I said to Joe is you go through all that work to get the car up at exactly the right height and all, and then if there is a nice day and you want to take it out, you're going to say, screw this, you got to uncover it.
Right.
Do all that to take it down for a drive and put it all back again. So I think that's like leave it till March.
Right. Plus, when you think about it, is it really best to get it up in the air?
I don't.
Get out of my head. That's right. What I was just thinking.
It's good for the tires, but suspensions were not meant to hang, you know, for long periods of time.
Well, everything that we've always seen says this. Not to, if the suspension is fully compressed, of course, the springs will take that stress over the years. And if it's unsprung, complications could follow also.
Yeah.
But they say that what I always read was to have the car to a point where the tires are just touching the ground.
That makes sense.
So there's a little, and I said to Joe, unless you have a scissor jack that can do, like on a jack stand, you may never, you know, I've seen guys using different, shaved blocks of wood to get under there.
Right, and, yeah.
You know, is it that exact?
I'll go out to my woodworking shop and make myself a couple of chocks. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, take a couple of weeks off work, get a scale, you know, and get some friends there, and one wheel at a time after a couple of weeks, you can probably get it just right.
There's not enough coffee for that, I'm sorry.
There's not, but let's pour this coffee, go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how's it going? Afternoon.
Hey.
Good, who are we speaking to?
Speaking to Anthony from Freeport.
Oh, Anthony.
Hey, Anthony, what's happening, man?
New caller, love it. What's happening?
I've been listening to you guys for years. I just never had I have no vehicle right now, so I always thought, I can't call him. I got no car.
Well, you know, listen,
you can call anyway.
I was going to say, listening.
Are you breathing? Yeah,
listening
you can call.
To us, you should know that doesn't mean jack. You can, you know, we'll entertain anything. So, what's up, Anthony? Talk to us.
Nothing. I was just wondering about a thing with if there's like a market for car ads out of magazines. Like I got a bunch of them. I've been taking out and I put into poly bags and backing boards.
You mean from like classic cars or?
From like Life magazine from the '60s, '50s. 70s.
It's interesting. My friend was just sent me an email about this yesterday, how he and I picked up a load of magazines from a friend in Brooklyn. I mean, literally, I filled the back of my car. We had thousands, at least 1,000 magazines.
What types?
You know, Carcraft Hot Rod, Car and Driver, Popular Hot Rodding, Drag Racing, all sorts of, you know,
yes,
stuff like that. And he mentioned to me, he goes, you know what, I'm seeing these cool ads. And he says, I don't want to throw the magazine out because this ad is like something that I think I want to save. And I said, yeah, you know.
Wow, yeah.
I've done the same thing. I would razor them out and save them just as the page. Anthony, I've seen them on eBay. I've seen people selling stuff like that on eBay.
Sure.
Really?
Doesn't you really go for a lot of money? You know, and of course it's commensurate with condition and whatnot, but if a guy really wants that Hearst ad because his car is in it or whatever,
right? Yeah.
He may get a couple bucks.
Yeah. No, I definitely been getting them through Life. You know, Life was a big magazine.
Yeah.
So I had to buy them online. I went on Amazon. I got the poly bags and everything, and they look really great. I got, like, you know, Ford, Chrysler, Chevy, Dodge. Oh, they look great, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I love those cars, like the Dodge Coronet, the Belvedere, Ford Torino, and all those classic cars, the fastbacks, you know, I love them.
What was your favorite car back in the day, Anthony? What did you drive?
Oh, back in the day, I had a 73 Malibu.
All right.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, it was a cool car. I wish it could have been like one of the older ones, like the 60s.
Right.
Like the 65, 66, 67. But I had a 73, which is a good one. A 350. Sure. Great car.
Excellent. Yeah,
real steel.
Yeah.
Yep, definitely.
And then I had a whole bunch of other cars through the years, which, you know, I wish I had a little car graveyard, but they're all gone.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Someone must have them. My last car, though, was a Ford Maverick, 1977.
Ooh.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, little classic car. That was a little six-cylinder. It was a great car. But the one thing I wanted to also just let you know about the magazines was I got a bunch from my friends. They were getting, they moved, and it was National Geographic.
Oh, boy.
And they were from the 10s and 20s.
Wow.
So I could have had a whole crate, but the guys, whoever were cleaning out the house, must have just took it out and dumped it in the driveway.
Yeah.
So a lot of them got rained on and destroyed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but the ones that I was able to, that were saved, that were able, like, in a little pocket in the back, mm-hmm, I got about 20 books out of them.
Nice.
And I got all these really cool ads from the 10s and 20s from Cadillac and then a lot of cars you never heard of, you know, that were back in the day, you know.
The old electric cars. Well, that's great, Anthony.
Yeah, there's people, you know, if somebody has their car in an ad.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like I said, if someone from the 20s had these cars that I got now, like, I forget some of the name, like Nash was one of them, Durant, Studebaker. What was the other one? Packard.
Yeah.
There was some. They're really old, man. Going to like 90, 100 years. So I'm going to look into that on eBay, like you were saying.
Yeah, I would think maybe if you put them together as a package, maybe 5-6 ads that are kind of around the same time period,
yeah,
sell them as a group. That may be more of an enticement. I don't know.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. Well, listen.
I'll give it a shot, you know. And hey, if any time, maybe I might catch one of you guys at one of the car shows. That would be awesome.
Absolutely.
By all means.
And hey, listen, don't be a stranger. Give us a call back. Keep in touch. Let us know how you make out with that stuff.
All right. Oh, you got it, guys.
Thanks, okay. Anthony.
Thanks for the call.
Oh, no problem.
Nice
have
to
a
meet
great
you.
Day.
You
all right.
Too.
So long. All right.
Yeah, people get crazy with that stuff. I mean, you know,
absolutely.
You go to car shows, there's the brochure for their particular car. You know what I mean? Right. I found one for the Camaro. It's in, you know, tucked away safely.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And the Chevelle, the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it's nice to see, especially if there's the car in your car's color.
Right.
Like your car, you know, happens to be in the in the brochure of the advertisement. That's cool stuff.
That's very cool. Yeah, you're right.
Anthony just said something and a light bulb went off in my head.
Uh-oh.
I thought I saw a whiff of smoke.
Here's a new business. An automotive graveyard. And I'm not talking about a junkyard. How about where there's like a crusher that can crush your car down to the size of a shoebox and you can bury your car, kind of like a bide-a-wee for cars?
Wow.
Yeah.
Because who wants to send their car off to the junkyard when
that a few times, and I tell you, I had to turn away as the flatbed was taken.
It's kind of tearful, especially if you're attached to a car.
Imagine an automotive like where they could crush it into something really small and manageable?
And guys,
turn it into like a table or something.
Well, yeah, guys, we know could make enough of those. You could make them pavers around your yard. You could do like a retaining wall out of them,
right,
or something, you know.
Well, that's a great idea.
I think we're going to have to work on the marketing on this after the show.
I think so. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to take another quick break and do a little business here, and we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. We're going to talk to Mr. Lewis Lee, get a quick SEMA update, and so think up some questions, and we'll...
Hang in there.
Formulated. And Steve, we're going to go back and we're going to go visit the 60s now. We're going to, how about a little Beach Boys tune?
Sounds good. You Which one?
I'm the purveyor of the non, well, I like the Beach Boys songs that were, they were all kind of hits, but the ones that weren't like the, I don't like the ones that everybody knows all the time.
Okay.
I like the ones that are a little off, but still good. So we're going to visit that and see if you agree. And we'll be back with more of this in a few minutes, 90.3 WHPC.
Run, a run, a do run, run, whoa, run, a run, a do run, run, whoa, run, a run, a do run, run, whoa.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Ocean, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
Please stay tuned for Motor Mouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon every Sunday exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motor Mouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles. And these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And, okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
Everybody's singing harmony in the studio.
Yeah,
Steve, here's your part. Joe, come into bass now. There we go.
Wow, we sound really good.
not bad. Yeah. Back on Motor Mouth Radio with the Beach Boys. And more fun, we have a caller. Let's go back to the line and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, Ray. This is Lewis.
Lewis Lee, how
Lewis,
are you?
What's up, man?
Lewis, you're on with myself, Joe D., Steve Linden.
Hey, Lewis.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Good.
And, of course, Lewis is the other purveyor of that fine Plane and Traffic show that we do on Thursday nights. He's also the chief cheech in charge at All Ends Magazine and, a host of other things. He can make you some leather and do some cool stuff and, just neat. So what's happening, brother? Talk to us.
Well, I got back home from SEMA yesterday morning. And I slept most of the day.
Yeah, I bet.
But it was a very, very fruitful week. We got a lot of business done. We contacts. I mean, it was one of the best SEMAs I've been to in 13 years.
Nice. You know, we had Papa Squirrel on the show on Thursday night, who was out in Vegas with you guys, and he was saying there was some confusion with spots and vendors, and Lou Santiago didn't know quite where to go a couple times. And what was that all about?
We had some companies that didn't show up, and
okay.
You know, we kind of got mixed up there, but for the most part, it worked out very well.
Excellent.
Yep.
So that means Plane and Traffic. That means, I guess, Plane and Traffic will have a whole new host of guests coming up in the next few months, huh?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, people recognize me and Lou. Well, they recognize Lou anyway, but.
Yeah,
they recognized me from the show, and they were just, fans, and I'm not used to that.
Well, let's not forget, you are the sexy devil of the Plane and Traffic show. You definitely. Lou says he likes to take that spot, but you got it. There's no two ways about it. You know that.
I try to do what I can do.
And you do it well.
We talked to Mark from Graveyard Cars. Mark, he's like, why haven't you had me back on? He hollered at me.
Oh.
So he's definitely coming back on quick.
Right. We're going to book him on this show as well. Now, Mark was, I believe, I was watching the Twitter and Instagram feeds all week, and Mark had got his hands on one of those 1,000 horsepower crate 426 Hemis, they say.
Yep, and that's what he wants to talk about.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Exactly what he said.
Man,
yep.
that's something. Talk about automotive news, boy. Oof.
Mm. The elephant in the room.
Were you thinking about sliding that into a certain Cadillac, maybe?
If it'll fit.
Better yet, if they give you one.
Right?
Because we were wondering what the price point is for that, and I can't even imagine where they would price that thing. I have no idea.
Oh, I'm betting on $20,000-$30,000.
Wow. Yeah. Because some of the high-level crate engines are 16 already. 15,
right,
16
sure.
for the Chevy stuff. So, wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
There was a lot of new products out there that we ran across. We'll have those people on our shows.
Nice.
A lot of new cars. I mean, it's just, I remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about what did we think was going to be the hot thing,
mm-hmm.
and flares were one of them.
Right.
A lot of stuff with flares.
Oh, on Plane of Traffic, we delve into fender flares. We do the van. We were talking about van. I think that was with the van conversation, which led to, of course, teak bars and mortar beds. But, you know, let's face it. It's late at night, so we're all getting into our groove, you know.
I got to get more coffee. I got to stay up and watch this one of these nights, you know.
Yeah, we have a good time. A lot of good people. You know, the regulars that come on are just, you know, they met us out there. And just good people, you know. The car community is just good people.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I know Lou had a lot of signings, a lot of booth engagements. I don't remember quite exactly which ones they were, but I'm sure, you know, Lou is always well received. You know, wherever Lou goes, people flock.
Oh yeah, Lou takes over the spot. We were at Jet Equipment,
mm-hmm.
and they were giving away a saw. And they gave him a mic, and that was,
oh,
you know,
boy.
What happened after
here
that.
We go.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Boy, that's a promo thing that really has teeth, huh?
Yeah, and so it was wireless, mic, you know? So he stepped out into the crowd. You know, he was pulling people over to the booth. It was really cool.
That's
cool. And Jet, that's one of our title sponsors for Plan of Traffic. They are going to give us some equipment to give away.
Nice.
It's going to be a great promotion.
Nice.
I can't wait to get all that information out, but the fans are going to love it. I mean, a big-time piece, not like a little screwdriver. We got some equipment coming.
Nice. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's something. We're going to keep Tori busy. In fact, I'll have to get Tori de Blasio, of course, does a lot of the guest wrangling for the show and a lot of the, how else would you categorize it, Lou? He does...
He keeps all the booking in order. He takes care of everybody that's coming on the show and gets them the information they need, and he does a great job.
And
he's going to be busy next week, for sure.
Talk about real time. Okay. We'll be on the show, Steve. It's an internet-based show, so we're all on the computer with a webcam. You can see everybody.
Right.
And I'll say to Tori, hey, listen, I got to get this guy's information, and bing, my cell phone will go off, and there is Tori texting me the contact info. So it's we got a – it's kind of a well-oiled machine that's working on Thursday nights, you know?
Mm.
We finally got the website. It's up and running.
Yes. Tell us, what's that URL? Spit it out there.
www.playing,
Playing in traffic, right. It is a nice new site, been redesigned. It looks very nice. It's slick as usual. Nothing less than we'd expect from Lewis, because he is a slick individual himself. And
we're going to be giving away some other products from other vendors.
Right.
So go check out the site and get all signed up so you can get the newsletter and all the information about the giveaways.
Right,
but
right.
Jet Tools, man, they're giving us some stuff.
Wow,
I'm telling
awesome.
you got to check it out.
That's cool. That's very cool. Any leather working stuff in the works or why?
Well, actually, I'm sitting here right now sewing a holster for a 44 Magnum.
Nice. Sewing a holster, yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm hand sewing it. You know, it looks a little classier with the hand stitch.
Are you doing a cross stitch like in X's where it's like X'd down the end, like Milt Sparks would typically do?
No, it's more of a box stitch. Oh. You go on the same hole twice.
All right,
from both sides.
All right. See, Steve, we've evolved as men in these shows. We talk about sewing and cooking. Like it doesn't faze us anymore. We've broken the old stereotypes.
We're modern men.
Right. I just sewed the other day.
There you go.
Did you? You know what I sewed?
What'd you sew?
And they were probably at SEMA. I sewed a steering wheel cover onto my Bronco.
Okay.
I'd like to blame it on somebody else because I realize now how much talent it takes to actually be able to sew.
Yeah.
But I did it, and it looks barely passable.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody else is probably going to have to redo it.
Mm-hmm.
But so I sewed.
Good enough. Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Hey, that's what I tell people. Well, you know what? You're not going to be the best first time out, but do something, and then you can refine it. And if it's not to your liking, it's something you don't do well, then go do something else. But at least give it a shot, you know?
At least try.
Exactly.
Hey, we're also going to have Steve from...
Steve Darnell, right? Yep.
Yeah, from Welder Up. We went to a party at his place. He invited us over to his place. And, he has an incredible shot.
Yeah, just so from watching it on TV. That's Vegas Rat Rods, the TV show that's on Discovery. He's got a heck of a joint over there, boy.
He sure does, man. I mean, it's almost like a little museum when you first go into the front part. Yeah. And, he had a tour. We took the tour, and then he kicked everybody out, and they had a big party. All the celebs came, and we hung out in the garage, and they fed us. It was a great time.
Nice. Hey, who's living better than you, right?
I don't know. My wife.
Yeah, well, hey, bring it with you. That's right. No,
that's a given.
That's good. That's a great time. Someday, one of these days, I hope to get out there myself. But, I was watching the feeds and seeing the franticness and all and saying, it's kind of nice being home in my easy chair and just kicking back and, nodding off when I want. I guess it's getting old thing.
Yeah, no nodding this week, I'll tell you. But I'll tell you what, you see things that is just incredible. There's some incredible builders that you never hear of. You know, they have their stuff out there. It's just a good atmosphere. People are, friendly, most of them. But, we have a good time.
Right.
Really good time.
Oh, we need an East Coast gig,
Yeah, that's for sure. We do.
Bring it out
because,
this
Because a lot of people from here was out there, and we kind of do need something on this side of the earth.
Exactly. So, Lewis, now that you've teased everybody with all this, tell everybody how they can find Playing in Traffic this coming Thursday night.
Okay, you can go to Facebook/ Playing in Traffic, the letter N in the middle, and that'll get you to the site. And I'll have links there where you can link and come over to our live feed and get in the chat room. And, you can see what everybody's talking about. Or you can go to www.playingintraffic.com.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I usually tell people, most people go to Lou's Facebook page, Lou Santiago on Facebook, because that seems where a lot of people come in from. So,
yeah, you can go there too, lousantiago.com. That'll get you there. Or you can go to allinsmag.com also.
Right. And then we'll give out your cell phone number later, so we'll just have people text you if they want.
Yeah.
We won't do that.
Sure.
Yeah. There's any number of ways in that place. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
That's great.
Some cool stuff on the Facebook page, that's for sure.
Yeah,
definitely go visit it.
All right, Lewis.
Yeah, check it out.
Thank you for that update, and we will, of course, you'll be seeing me on Thursday night. You can't shake me that easy. I'm kind of like that glue in the bottom of your shoe,
Yes, sir. No problem. I appreciate you having me on.
Okay, Lewis. Thanks,
Lou.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. So long. And that was Lewis Lee from Playing in Traffic, one of the and All Ends Magazine. That's the entity that he does that he... he's a reporter in his own right and does a lot of cool stuff out there based out of Ohio. So we're all across the country, and it's nice because now with technology...
We're bad, we're nationwide.
We're right. And we're low down in the streets, too, playing in traffic, which is going to play into our last and final song on our this soiree. So let's do that, and then we'll come back and finish up with Steve. It's going to be Freeform Steve. Wherever you want to go is going to be the thing, Steve. It's your
good
gig.
Good. Yeah, call up, ask questions. Come on, there's a smart guy here.
Let's get low down in the streets on 90.3 WHPC.
I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
What are all these birds doing here at the radio station?
They're just tweeting.
They're kind of loud.
They'll stop soon. They're about to hit 140 characters.
Huh?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm retweeting that.
Oh no, not again.
You gotta like that.
That tweeter just tweeted all over the equipment.
Do you or do you not know about the bird?
Join the conversation on Twitter. Find us at 903-WHPC.
I'm not cleaning that up.
Hey, what's your big idea?
That's 903-WHPC on Twitter. From the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3-WHPC.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
All right, we're back on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, 516-572-7440, talking about the flares on Joe's pants. No, it was fender flares, I'm sorry. I knew something was flared, I wasn't quite sure.
I can't
sure
fit
it was
in my flared pants anymore.
All right.
That's about 120 pounds ago. Come on, give me a break here.
Right. So, Ray Guarino, Joe D., with Steve Linden.
They do make excellent polishing cloths, though.
They do. Yes, you're right, because they are floor dusters, or actually the bell bottoms. And I actually had, back in the day, it was called the Big Bell.
Yeah, elephant bells.
Yeah. Had those, too. Yes, sorry, Bobby.
Today's history lesson has been brought to you by...
by the 70s.
Yeah.
Because we were there. Yeah. So, yeah. Steve, let's, in our last segment, where are we going to go?
How about Restomods, if you guys like that?
We love Restomods. You know that.
Actually,
we have a flashy thing, so let's go there first. Let's hit this and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths and Steve
Hello,
Linden.
Gentlemen. Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, Bob. What's happening?
Everything's good. I'm making waffles for the girls.
Hey, that's what we had this morning at our house, too.
Waffles, yes.
I didn't have a whole lot of success because I hadn't seasoned the waffle maker in ages. So I had to go through some sacrificial waffles, if you will.
You know what? We had a couple that hit the trash can as well before we got it all sorted out. But you know what? The ones that made it were delicious.
That's exactly where we're at.
Cool.
So I had a... one, Steve, I enjoyed your article 2 weeks ago that you had for the winterizing. It was great.
Thank you.
And I have the standard question for your guest, and that is, Steve, I recognize you have probably a whole corral. So what? Share the build on the Bronco. What are you building?
On the Bronco? On my daily driver Bronco?
Oh, because you said you were stitching the steering wheel.
Oh, yeah. It's it's a 1996 Bronco, the last year, with 341,000 miles on it.
Jeez. God the bless.
And I'm proud to say the engine has never, ever been opened on the truck.
Knocking wood while you say that.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And no, it's not an old Bronco. It's a new Bronco, so nothing special in that sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
How is that powered?
It's a 351.
351, because some of them came with the 302s, right?
Yeah, yep.
351s were hard to get a hold of. Is that the Eddie Bauer edition?
It was an Eddie Bauer edition. It still is an Eddie Bauer edition, but I kind of wanted to update it a little bit. So about a year ago, I had it painted, so it's all one color. So
yeah.
It doesn't look like 1990s anymore. And
right.
But yeah, it is. It's an Eddie Bauer. Yep.
Well, I enjoy your print, and thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Love your program.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks,
you.
Bob.
Bye-bye.
Oh, boy, that's Bob making those waffles.
Somewhere there's a beer being opened.
Takes me back to breakfast. Right, Tom and Massapequa's doing that now. So, Restomods.
Yeah, we
were doing some of that on the off in the in between time. Yeah, we were talking. We started the rest of the month conversation.
Yeah, I heard my
Ray.
Name. I heard my name come up.
Yes.
Well, that's what got me thinking to thinking about it when I saw your car this morning. You know, on the outside, it looks basically stock, but when you look closely, you made some of these changes that people are making. You know, the Tremec 5-speed and the real disc brakes, so the car can actually stop. And you know, it's just interesting because 5 or 10 years ago, you used to mention resto mods, and people used to turn their nose up.
Yeah.
And nowadays, people are they're just so much more accepted. Half the appraisals I do are resto mods.
Sure. Now, how do you do that? Because with an appraisal, you have to look for comps.
Yeah.
And back in the day, there really were no comps because guys were the pioneers. Right. You know, now most of the stuff that I bought, the stuff I bought is all from companies that make that component. So suspension components were made.
Yes.
Transmission made. I mean, it wasn't like I didn't have to be MacGyver and build the stuff. I just had to go and find it and then install it.
Yeah.
So how do you do that on the appraisal end?
Well, it's actually easy. I mean, appraisals are based on exactly what you just said, comparables. They're not based on exacts, you know, so it just has to be something similar. And nowadays, there's absolutely no shortage of resto mods. People just take them to different levels, you know. Some of them are brakes and a transmission. Some of them are brakes and transmission and vintage air and rack and pinion steering. And, you know, you can take it to any level that you want.
That's what I'm saying. There's so many variables. And there's, you know, Joe and I both work on stuff. We see the stuff that's not done well. Like, just because you buy the good stuff doesn't mean you put it in correctly.
Yeah.
You know,
it's that's really, really very true. These Cobra replicas that you see on the road all over the place?
Sure.
That's a perfect example of that. You can get these things that were built literally in somebody's driveway, or you can get them that were built in a factory.
Yeah.
And the build quality does vary from horrible to professional, and it's the same thing with Restomods.
Sure. Yeah, guys go, I built mine in my garage, but a lot of guys they'll farm it out to shops to do different work for you. I'm not painting mine. It's going to be done by a friend. I'll have it painted in a real shop.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But the other stuff, you know, I mean, if you're competent enough to do it, by all means, do it. It lengthens the life and the usability of the car because now, like you said, you have modern brakes, AC, you have suspension that now is better. Tire quality is right there with anything new on the road.
I think that's the thing behind it too, is that sometimes using a real original car from, like, say, the 60s or any era, you know, the further back you go, people now with modern cars are spoiled by, you know, brakes that stop, steering that steers, comfortable climate control.
HVAC. Yeah. You know what I like about driving my Pontiac? One of the things I noticed immediately when I started driving it again, visibility. Yeah. Wow, I'm like, it's like being in a Pacer. It's like a fishbowl of windows. Like, hey, this is, I can see this
lots
guy
of glass,
with a glance over him. Like in driver's ed, they taught you glance over your shoulder.
That's right.
Because you can see out the back. Now try that in a new Camaro.
No, you can't do
glance
it.
Glance over your shoulder, you see the interior color.
Right.
You see the seat.
Yeah, it's like sitting in a bunker. And it's not just that car. They're out there. They just don't give you the glass exposure like they
Which
use.
Is for safety purposes. You know, the doors all got hard. You can't do the Cugine lean out the door.
No,
you're doing this, especially if you're short, you know, you're...
Yep.
Okay, had to bring up the short part, didn't you?
Me too.
Okay.
I mean, I've driven cars like that. Even my wife's Cruise, I have to raise my arm to get it out to them. Like,
You see, it's not so bad because they have cameras now. They have cameras out the back or whatever. You know, you have to be able to, like, turn around and look out the window. You don't have to do that no
more.
But
you want to look good driving down the boulevard, Joe. You know, you want to kind of cruise.
Yeah, nobody even sees it. They see the top of your head. That's about it, yeah.
Yeah, these cars are really very different. You know, I get to travel around the country, so I get to rent a lot of cars. And when I do, I try to, if I can, I'll rent a Camaro or a Challenger or something like that.
Yeah.
And what you were saying is absolutely true. You can see forward out of these cars. And even then, it's interesting. You get in a new Camaro or a new Challenger, pull up to a traffic light where you would pull up in your normal car, and all of a sudden you're like, where's the traffic light?
You know what you need?
Yeah. You have to stop three car lengths back.
You need the thing that went on the dash of the tri-fi Chevys, that lens.
A trafficator.
Right.
Yeah.
It would show you. It's like a heads-up display for traffic lights. That's why I like driving my Fiat, especially with the top down, because no matter where I stop, I just look up. You know, it's like... You know, because that car's got a low...
You're out in the world. You're not sealed off.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a question from our Eye in the Sky, Jim. And, Steve, he would like to know what you think the general condition of the car community on Long Island is these days.
That's a broad question.
General condition.
State or... What do you think's going on out there on Long Island here?
I think Long Island... I personally am seeing the same thing that I'm seeing everywhere else in the country. I'm seeing...
You know, a lot of the post-war cars are not quite as desirable, but people are still, you know, actively going after the 60s and 70s cars. I see a lot of them are being resto-modded or modified so that they can be used. I see that a lot of people just don't really care so much about originality like right. I did or do. Or yeah, so I see it still active, but I see it changing.
Yeah, so we're kind of following the trends of the country.
I think so, yeah. The only other thing that I see that probably would be important to interject is I see a lot of investors getting involved now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the what we kind of call the best of the best. They're,
right.
You know, they're pulling them off of the market. They're see, they're going...
Okay.
That's the best of the best. We hang with the guys that take the rest. So, you know, like the guys who go into the four-door crowd now because they can't get the two-door. And,
yeah.
And that's wagons. Becoming... That's a segment that's becoming hot. Actually, people aren't buying the four-doors and the wagons that they didn't want to look at before.
Yeah.
Again, you know, because it's of just the cost. You know, the
there's
money.
A gentleman out east. He's a retired police officer. Who I know who collects four-door cars.
Okay.
And at the price point that he wants to get into, he can get some absolutely fantastic cars.
Yeah.
And I personally, I think there's a certain brilliance to that. If mm-hmm. if you don't have a problem with two extra doors,
mm-hmm. yeah.
then you can get some really great cars.
Depending on what you want out of the car, like if you're sitting in the driver's seat, it looks just like the two-door.
Well, it's like, I've told people, it's like an El Camino or Ranchero from the seat forward. Right. It looks like the car that it was built on, you know, the platform it was built
and if
on.
You have a family, it's great.
Taking the kids out for ice cream becomes a lot easier.
I've actually said that to guys who are a little younger and they have younger families, like, hey, get the four-door, man.
Absolutely.
Because your kids will go in the back. It's, you know, you may have to, depending on the age of the car, you may have to install some seat belts in the rear. I've done that on many of my cars.
Yeah.
So that, you can put in the car seat, or the kids at least have some kind of restraint.
Yeah.
And for the most part, a lot of the mods that you could do as far as suspension, engine, whatever, they all work on the four-door, too.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, the body and trim panels may not be as easy to get,
right?
You know, but you could still make it handle it, start, stop. You know,
my thought on that is if you drive in, say, a Delta 88 or 98, and it's a four door, and you're missing the trim that goes across the rear door of the corner, who cares? You're driving the car, drive it without the trim, enjoy the car.
Yeah,
you know? That's the thing. People get hung up on minutiae, I think, and what it does is it prevents you.
Oh,
this
joints off.
Yeah, it prevents you from enjoying the greater good of what you're involved in. So that's where I am at this point in my life. I say, just get out there and drive it.
You know, you were asking me what I was seeing here on Long Island. That's what I'm seeing literally all over the country and to a degree all over the world. People are using these cars and they're enjoying them, and they don't really care if they're going to lose a point here and there about something because they're not showing them.
Right. That's great.
Yeah. They're just not showing them.
Or, you know, I've always said, you know, go to a cruise night. Just go to some place where you display the car. You know, some guys get off on the trophy. They like the little plastic man. You know, it's...
Nothing wrong with that if that's what you want.
No, not at all.
Right. They need the pat on the back, you know.
Whatever. You know, Al Handy, Jeep and Al said something to me during the week. It was on a Twitter exchange. I think it was his truck. He's got a Dakota that he brings out. And I said, you know, I commented on how I like it because it was owner-built, owner-driven, owner-engineered. And he was at a judge's event. And I said, you know, I'm not a big fan of judge's events. I've been a car show judge since the late 70s. I said, I don't need some guy whose judgment is questionable telling me how I built my car. But when one of my friends or contemporaries says something to me, positive or negative, that's what I look for because that's what I'll pay attention to because I know you guys know what you're talking about. That's my trophy.
And well, you want to hear something great?
Yeah.
Can I mention the name of an insurance company?
Sure.
By all means.
I was at a show recently up at the Vanderbilt Mansion.
Oh, yeah.
Predominantly British cars, but other cars mixed in.
Right.
And I ran into a guy. He's a local representative for Haggerty Insurance. He does not sell insurance. His job is just community outreach.
Okay.
And they had a youth judging segment.
Oh, fantastic.
Where the kids were walking around. A group of probably 15 or 20 kids were walking around judging the cars.
Yeah, two youths at a time.
Two youths. Yeah.
That's great. I
thought that was great.
That is good. Haggerty is who insures my cars, by the way.
So yeah.
They are a great company.
They are.
Forward-looking. They really take care of you, too. They're a great... This isn't a spot for them, but it's, speaking from my own personal experience.
Yeah.
I would look into it if you're looking. So anyway, Steve, we're going to enter into our...
Yeah, we burned another hour already.
Yeah, wow. We're going to enter into our winter season. We hope to get you back sooner than we had you in last time.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. We'll be the strange
ones. No problem.
Thank you for coming in, by the way. You made the hour breeze.
My pleasure.
By.
Thank you.
And Joe, we don't have a guest booked for next week. I'm sure we'll...
Something will fall out of the
whatever.
You
know the way things happen around here. We'll figure something out. We'll... Yeah, well, I'm sure through Plane and Traffic with Lewis, we'll have some guests that they met at.
Yeah, somebody will show up.
And that's it. So for Ray G, Joe D, Steve Linden, Motormouth Radio, we'll be back next week.
On
thank you, Steve.
WHPC.
93.3. See ya.